translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is the personality of Godhead Krishna who gives liberation. By thinking of His lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authority, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of Him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. Please repeat after me. It is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who gives liberation. By thinking of His lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authority, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of Him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mystic yogis, after strenuous efforts to control the senses, may be situated in a trance of yoga just to have a vision of the supreme, of the super soul within everyone. But the pure devotee, simply by remembering the Lord's lotus feet at every second, at once becomes established in real trance, because by such realization, his mind and intelligence are completely cleansed of such realization, cleansed of the disease of material enjoyment. The pure devotee thinks himself fallen into the ocean of birth and death, and incessantly prays to the Lord to lift him up. He only aspires to become a speck of transcendental dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotee, by the grace of the Lord, absolutely loses all attraction from material enjoyment. And to keep free from contamination, he always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. King Kulashekhara, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed, Krishna tadiya pada, Krishna tadiya pada pankaja panjarantam, addaima bishatu manasa rajahamsa, pranaprayana samaye kakubhata pittai, kanthago rodhana vithai, madanam kitaste. My Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stem of the lotus feet of your Lordship and be locked in the network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? Actually, at the time of death, the three kinds of elements from the body, they are known as three doshas: mucus, air, and bile. These three things accumulate in the throat, and it chokes up our throat. Therefore, at the time of death, people make a guardian sound, because it becomes very difficult, it becomes rather impossible for them to breathe. So that is for a mundane person. For a devotee, just by remembering Krishna, they give up their life there. I personally saw when Prabhupada was living this body. Prabhupada was just chanting Hare Krishna. And by chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada left his body. There was no physical difficulty that he was experiencing. So that's what happens when one is situated in spiritual. So when one is in a material platform, then he becomes so much. Then he becomes so much afflicted by the pain. Because at the time of death, it's going to be very, very difficult. You can well imagine how difficult it's going to be. Like if you close on nose and mouth for 1 minute, then you cannot breathe. How does it feel? Will you have
Try to stop breathing for a minute. You feel as if the lungs are going to burst, the whole body is going to burst. And that's exactly what the situation is. All of a sudden, you won't be able to breathe. The body will become completely inactive. And actually, it is so painful at the time that the spirit says, cannot possibly live in the body. So this is how the spiritual is forced out of the body.
When the spiritual voluntarily doesn't want to leave the body, the material nature forces the spiritual to leave the body. Sometimes people say, oh, he died so peacefully. But apparently, he was peaceful. But the condition of the spiritual must have been very, very difficult. But that is not the case with a devotee. A devotee prepares himself to live again. Actually, when he is alive, he gives up his attachment to the body. Although he is subject to the demands of the body, like eating, drinking, breathing, the devotees do not stop those activities, although the yogis try to do that. Yogis stop eating and drinking and finally they stop eating. That's how the yogis, as a perfected yogi, at his will can give up his body. A yogi waits for the right time, and right at that moment when the time is all auspicious, all auspicious in the sense, at certain times, the gates of the spiritual sky open. The gates of the spiritual sky open up, and the yogis know, those descriptions have been given in the scriptures, when at particular auspicious moments, the gates of the higher region and also the gates of the spiritual sky open up. So at that time the yogi leaves his body and he goes out of it. But even though the yogi may enter into the spiritual sky, what happens to him? Even though he may go to the spiritual sky, he will not be properly situated because unless and until he develops a loving relationship with him. Because in the spiritual sky everyone is active. No one can be inactive in the spiritual sky. So if someone enters into the spiritual sky but cannot become active, then what happens to him? Simple bored. But he would like to be in the spiritual sky. So the way to go back to the spiritual sky and remain there, the best way is to become engaged in the devotional service. Then we do not have to open, we do not have to wait when the spiritual sky is going to open, or the gate to the spiritual sky. Then we simply depend upon Krishna. And the Krishna sends Vishnu Dutas. What happens when a devotee dies? Just a moment. So Vishnu Dutas come to receive him. And they lift him up in a transcendental chariot and fly through the space. Or sometimes a devotee falls in Jamuna and is carried by Jamuna. That's what happened to this Kumar, according to Sanatana Goswami in Gopkumar was in, he went back to Vaikuntha. He went to Vaikuntha, and from Vaikuntha he came back to Dwarka. He went to Dwarka. He came back to Earth planet because Krishna Narad Muni instructed him. Because Gopkumar's attachment was with Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore he was not satisfied, although he was elevated to Dwarka, and although he was having association with Krishna in Vrindavan. His heart was yearning for the cowherd boy who plays flute and tends cows in the forest. So Narad Muni told him that he should come back to Earth planet
in the in Vrindavan in first place and
be engaged in Nam Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan means chanting
the holy name of the Lord
loudly
and preferably with other congregations.
Now this Nam Sankirtan or chanting the holy name of the Lord loudly is the best way to make spiritual attainment. Because this holy name is the greatest prayer, because this prayer is directly appealing to Krishna. And when does one chant loudly? When he can't retain his emotion any longer. Is when his emotion surges forth, then it comes out in the form of loud chanting or chanting, music, chanting of the song. So Gopkumar went back to Vrindavan and he was chanting Krishna's holy name loudly in the forest of Vrindavan. And then one day he saw Krishna and he ran towards Krishna. So when he ran towards Krishna, he fainted and he fell on Yamuna. And he became unconscious, but then he felt that he was being transported somewhere in a kind of a vehicle with a tremendous speed, even faster than the speed of his mind, he was traveling. And then when he opened his eyes, he found himself. So, Krishna has his way of taking his devotees back to Godhead. Sometimes he sends his devotees, sometimes he makes some special arrangements to take the devotees back to Godhead. Therefore, a devotee never dies. Now the question may arise, but still you see that the devotee dies. Yes, devotee changes his body. The change of his body is actually a blessing. We have a gross body, we have a subtle body, and then we have a spiritual body. The gross body is made of earth, water, fire, air, this outer body. And this body is subject to creation and destruction. In a very rapid process of growth. Sometimes it's 100 years, sometimes it's 1,000 years. Sometimes it may be even a second. This great body is created and destroyed, like great matter is created and destroyed. But beyond that gross body, we have a subtle body. The subtle body lasts for a very long time. The subtle body doesn't get destroyed so easily. Although the gross body dies, the subtle body doesn't die. The subtle body exists as long as it remains in the material. Now, when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, his subtle body actually, okay, let's put it this way, the gross body dies after certain period. So for human beings, the longevity of the gross body is 100 years. But the subtle body doesn't, like after 100 years, a man will become free from the gross body. But he only free from the subtle body. When a man dies, his subtle body remains. And it's the subtle body that actually carries the spirit soul into the next room. And the only way we can get rid of the subtle body is by being engaged in devotional service. The subtle body consists of what? Mind, intelligence, and intelligence. These are the three subtle materials, subtle matter. Subtle material element that the subtle body is made of. Now, How can you become free?
From mind, intelligence, and virtue.
Can one become free of mind, intelligence, and virtue at death?
No.
How can one become free? It's not possible to become free from the bondage of sati body. But what you can do is actually transform the sati body into the spirit body. Like mind is there, mind is a substance. Now how do you become free from the bondage of mind?
You can tell me.
You know how to become free from the bondage of mind?
Yes.
Right. By constantly remembering Krishna,
we can become free from the bondage of mind.
Now who knows how we can become free from the bondage of intelligence?
Yes.
Tesham Shatasa Vistanam Bhajatam Kritikurvatam Tadami Buddhi Yogantam Jena Mandatajam. Tesham Shatasa Vistanam, and those who are constantly engaged Bhajatam Kritikurvatam in loving devotion and service. Tadami Buddhi Yogantam. Krishna says that he gives them the spiritual intelligence, the buddhi yoga. Jena mamu pajantita, by and due to that, they can come close to you. So, intelligence is thus transformed. What is the Sanskrit word for intelligence? Buddhi. And Krishna says, dadami buddhi yoga. So, this buddhi yoga is spiritual intelligence. And spiritual intelligence means devotion. So in this way, one becomes, one's intelligence becomes purified. And then when the intelligence is purified and one becomes engaged in devotional service, then his false ego, he becomes free from the covering of false ego, and he becomes situated in his real identity as an eternal servant of Krishna. So now, does he have his mind, intelligence and false ego anymore? Is he still bound by his mind, intelligence and false ego anymore? No. So this is how his mind, intelligence and false ego becomes transformed or spiritualized due to constant engagement in devotional service. But although he has become free from his subtle body, what happens to his gross body? What does he do with his gross body? Then uses it for in devotional service. Yeah. Now a devotee doesn't give up his gross body. The gross body is a gift of material nature. And it has certain duration, and a devotee voluntarily accepts or agrees to stay in the gross body as long as the material nature wants him to be. And the devotee remains in his gross body, and as long as he has the gross body, he uses it in Krishna. And then, by nature's law, by nature's arrangement, a time comes when the devotee has to leave his body, say after 100 years or 90 years or 60 years. So then what does the devotee do? A devotee who has already become free from his subtle body, when the time comes for him to leave his body, what does he do? Does he feel bad? Does he feel miserable? No. On the other hand, he actually patiently waits for the time. When the time is going to come, when the nature is going to release him from the bondage of his body. Because this material body is a bondage, the gross body is a bondage. So, when the time comes for him to get out of this material body, he considers it to be a blessing. And he uses that opportunity to become free. So he has already become free from the subtle bondage. Now whatever little gross bondage he had at the time of death, material nature allows him to get out of that also. And then he goes back to his spiritual. Now for a person who has become free from the bondage of subtle body, is death, which actually means freedom from the bondage of gross body, is it going to be painful for him?
You don't.
Therefore, for a devotee, death is not at all painful. And material nature actually makes that impression. Gradually, he becomes free from the bondage of his body. Like at the prime of one's youth, actually, although it appears to be very nice time, when one is in his prime of his youth, but actually, spiritually, that is the worst time. Because the attachment to the body is the greatest. The influence of the body is the greatest at the time. At that time, the body's demands are very, very strong. But then what happens? Gradually, by nature's arrangement, his attachment or the body's influence over him begins to reduce. As the body becomes old, what it actually means? It means the body's demands are decreasing. When one becomes old, he cannot, by nature's arrangement, he cannot eat. His body becomes weak, he cannot move so much. He cannot breathe properly. So it's actually nature's arrangement. Nature is very mercifully allowing him to become free from the bondage of the body gradually. Had it been abrupt, then it would have been very painful. But this gradual change is, like for example, you are very attached to something. Now, if that object is taken away from you all of a sudden, then what happens? You feel very bad. You feel great pain. But if that process is gradual, like gradual also, and in the sense, like some other substitute is given to you, like a child has become very fond of his toy. But the father gives him a nice coloring book. So before taking the toy away, the father gives him a substitute, a nice coloring book. And the child becomes absorbed in the coloring book and he automatically becomes detached from the toy. So in this way, Krishna actually reduces our material attachment by giving us a higher taste. And that higher taste is of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, for a devotee, death is not at all painful. A person who is properly situated in spiritual life, he, on the other hand, uses his body as long as he has the body, and when the nature says goodbye, then he says, what a relief. So this is how, or another example can be given. A criminal is in prison. Now the criminal recognized his crime and he decided to get out of the prison. And he was told what his crime was, and realizing that his actual crime was that he did not abide by the law of the king. He defied the king's instructions, king's law, and that's why he's suffering in the prison. Then he resolved that it was a mistake and he will not commit the mistake anymore. He will become submissive to the king. And so he makes an application. He writes to the prison officer. That I made a mistake, I recognize my crime, and from now on I am surrendered to the truth. Then the prison authorities sends that application to the king. And the king says, okay, it's very good. This man is beginning to rectify himself. So now you help him so that he can become free from his bad habits. So the prison authorities start to help him. They don't punish him anymore, instead they start to help him. They start to educate him about the king and the facilities that he will derive by being a loyal citizen. And then when they see that the person is working nicely, then although that person is a prisoner, they do not treat him as a prisoner. Instead they treat him as if he is a free person. Like the prison authorities then engage him in some prison service. He becomes the leader of the other prisoners. He takes care of the other prisoners. And then he gradually is promoted. Although he is in the prison house wearing the dress of a prisoner, but actually he is not a prisoner and the prison authorities don't treat him as a prisoner. And then finally the word comes from the king. Said, okay, now his consciousness has become completely rectified. His consciousness has become purified. So release him from the prison. So as soon as the message or the instruction comes to the prison authority, then the prison authority sends him over the release order. Okay, now you can go. And then what does the prisoner do at that time? He goes and takes off his prison dress, prisoner's dress, puts on the dress that he actually came in with, that dress actually he came in with, and he kept it, the prison officers actually kept the dress and made him put on the prison attire. So now he took off the prison attire and put on that other dress and walked out of prison as a free citizen. So that's how a living entity becomes free from his material body. This material body is actually the prisoner's uniform. In the material nature, we all are wearing this uniform. And it's because we all are prisoners here. We made some mistakes and committed some crimes in Krishna's kingdom, and therefore we have been sent here. And all this while we have been suffering, we have been severely punished because of our various crimes. But now that we have realized that we committed a crime, and what our crime was, and we resolve to rectify ourselves. Material nature, the prison warden, is constantly giving us help, providing us with different types of facilities so that we can rectify our poverty consciousness. And then someday when we become completely free from our material contamination, then the material nature will say, go. Now you are free to go. And then only we will be able to take off this uniform of material prison, and in our spiritual identity, we go back to the spiritual time. I just briefly read to the purport. There is an intimate relationship between the swan and the lotus king. So the comparison is very appropriate. Without becoming a swan or paramhamsa, one cannot enter into the network of the lotus feet of the Lord. As stated in Brahma Samhita, the mental speculators, even by dint of learned scholarship, cannot even dream of the absolute truth by speculating over it for eternity. What is the first? From Brahma Samhita, from the same thing. Does anybody know? Panthastu koti satavastara santravami vayodathapi manasya nirvindyate tespasti jatvapadasini vikindyate So the Panthastu koti satavastara santravami Even if one is traveling with the speed of mind for hundreds of years, Manaso Munipundarana, you know, talking about this very great mental speculation of meaning, great philosophy. Not like mundane philosophy, but spiritual philosophy. They are trying to understand the spiritual reality with the mental speculation. Now it's saying that those sages, they are actually very, very powerful people. Even if they travel with the speed of the mind, hundreds of thousands of years, they got transported for eternity, still they won't be able to reach. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to such mental speculators. And because they cannot enter into the nature of sin at the lotus feet of the Lord, all mental speculators differ in conclusion. And at the end, they make a useless compromise by saying, the Lord is what He is, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. And He demands absolute surrender unto Him only. The pure devotee, however, by following the ways of previous acharyas or authorities, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, Anupashyanti. The pure devotee never tries to see the Lord by mental speculation, but by following the footsteps of the acharyas, Mahajanojana Vatastha Pantha. Therefore, there is no difference of conclusions among the Vaishnava acharyas regarding the Lord and the devotee. Lord Chaitanya asserts that the living entity Jiva is eternally the servitor of the Lord and that he is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. This tattva of Lord Chaitanya is shared by all four sampradayas of the Vaishnava school, all accepting eternal servitude to the Lord even after salvation. Liberation and beyond liberation is devotional service. And there is no authorized Vaishnava Acharya who may think of the Lord and himself as one. This humbleness of the pure devotee, who is 100% engaged in his service, puts the devotee of the Lord in a trance by which to realize everything, because to the sincere devotee of the Lord reveals himself, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Which verse is that? 10:10. The Lord being the Lord of intelligence in everyone, even in the non-devotee, favors his devotee with proper intelligence so that automatically the pure devotee is enlightened with the factual truth about the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is revealed not by one's speculative power or by one's verbal jugglery over the absolute truth. Rather, he reveals himself to a devotee when he is fully satisfied by the devotee's service attitude. Sukadeva Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory of as many ways, as many completions. Rather, he prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord.
Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. What will be? Yeah. Yeah. Remains in the next life. Yes. Next one.
The subtle body actually, after death, the spirit soul enters into a state of unconsciousness in most cases. Like after a hard day's work, one falls asleep. Similarly, after the hard life struggle, the spirit soul falls asleep, and that's called death. So, that is called Andhuta Mishra, or dark, deep darkness, the region of deep darkness. And being in that region for quite some time, most of his memory is actually obliterated. Not obliterated, but covered over. It remains in a kind of dormant state. Therefore, when he enters into another womb and gets another body, in most cases the spirit soul does not really remember anything from his previous life. But there are some cases where they remember. Now, the degree of remembrance will depend on a person's freedom from material bondage. The more unconscious of Krishna one is, the longer will be his duration of this sleep or death in an unconscious state of existence. But a person who is Krishna conscious, whose consciousness is considerably purified, he will probably remember everything from his previous life. He'll remember everything. That's why often you see that the devotees, after they join the movement, they display great advantage very quickly. So as soon as they come to devotional service, the memory actually comes back. Although it may not be consciously, but unconsciously it comes back. But there are some cases also of remembering from the previous life. Like they remember the happenings of the previous life. But in most cases it doesn't happen because they remain in darkness. For example, today what you have done, you can remember them very, very easily. But when you fall asleep and then wake up tomorrow morning, you notice that most of the things that were in your memory from today is lost. So, it depends, you know, the state of one's subtle body, whether it is, you know, very heavily involved. If the more heavily involved one is, the more in ignorance one plunges into. The less involved one is, the more he is in enlightenment. There is light and darkness. The more we become involved in materialistic activities, we remain in darkness. The more we become free from materialistic activities, we go to light. And another consideration is that the more you get involved in the material activity, the more longer is the duration of your sleep. The more is the involvement in the ignorance. Passion leads to ignorance. Due to the mode of passion, during the day you work hard. Right? And then you become tired in the evening and fall asleep. Then in the morning you wake up fresh, little bit fresh, and start to work again. And then at night again you fall asleep. So passion, in passion you work, and then ignorance you sleep. So this is how the materialistic activities are going. But a person who transcended the region of passion and entered into goodness, he neither gets excessively involved in mundane activities, nor does he need the rest. I mean, some may be bogus, but it's possible. It is possible. Like, if we can remember what we did yesterday in spite of last night's sleep, so why can't a person remember what he did in his previous life? But in most cases, as I said, like, they don't remember. So since most of the people don't remember, when one person can, when there's an odd incident like that, they don't believe. So that's actually their ignorance. But it is possible. Devotees remember. And also hypnotic regression actually brings the memories of the previous things onto the person. You see, mind is as such that nothing is destroyed, nothing actually, everything remains in the mind, stored up in the mind. But that is in the unconscious state. But when the mind is able to register something, can, with the intelligence, can interrelate or correlate, then that is called consciousness. Like, in our mind there is the impression, and we can relate to them, we can bring them into the forefront of our mind. So that is the consciousness. But otherwise, nothing is lost in the mind. Like, we often see that things that we have done in the past, say when you are 3 years old, I mean, apparently it was completely forgotten, but all of a sudden it comes back into the forefront of the mind. So that shows that nothing is lost, actually. Everything remains in the mind. But it depends upon our ability to bring it out.
Jaya Sri Sri Gauranga, Jaya Sri Sri Gauranga, Baladev Sri Gauranga, Jaya Sri Sri Gauranga.